This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker, and today my guest is Rick White from 180 Biz, and we're going to be talking about differentiating your shop. Before we get into it, let's take a second to thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss, shop management software that works the way you need it to right out of the box. Are you ready to convert clients to members? AppFueled specializes in creating custom apps tailored specifically for auto repair businesses. Build client loyalty. Get started today with your own customer loyalty app. Visit appfueled.com. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Man, I am doing fantastic. Better than I deserve.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you with me today. We were just at Vision together, and we were talking about differentiation and talking about a common client that we have. Brought up the idea of, hey, let's get together and talk about this on the podcast. I know I've heard you talk about it in your classes before. You talk a good bit about marketing, and you'll get into this idea of, like, you know, market message and medium. Tell us a little bit about that.
For me, you end up with shop owners that start out as technicians, for a lot of them, and the thought process of, I just got to fix cars and be good at it, and that's going to be enough. It isn't, because there's just this sea of sameness in our industry, even to the point where I watch a client starting to do a website, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, no. I mean, who did you steal this from? Who did you steal that from? Because that's what we do. We basically Frankenstein a website from about 10 other ones we saw, instead of sitting down and really coming up with who we are. Who are we? What do we stand for? Who do we serve? And if you can start to understand that, that is so important, because, Brian, you do speaking, I do speaking, right? We do training and such. We both have haters. Like, there are some people that do not like us, and that's okay. My goal is not to be liked by everybody. That would be a goal I could not ever achieve. But I want to find the people that are my people, and I want them to know that I'm there. And that's what it's really about. You're not there to fix every vehicle. You're there to find the people that love what you do, do everything you recommend, and then refer other people to you. That is my avatar of an ideal client on a very high level.
You talk about the sea of sameness and people basically, who did you steal this website from? And we have, on multiple occasions, and look, when I say multiple occasions, it's been two or three times over a 10-year period, but we've had people come to us with a document of content that they literally went and took from other websites and said, this is the content I want on my website. And we're like, no. In many cases, like, the document that they would give us, it still had the other company's name in it. And they're like, well, why? And we'd have to go through this process of explaining to them. For us, it's like search engine optimization. You know, SEO is not going to like this. But to what you're talking about, you want to attract that client that is going to be the client that is going to, like, they're going to work with you best. And the shop down the street, they are not the same as you.
No. And you shouldn't want to be the same as them. Mark Twain once said that comparison is the death of joy. I see it all the time. I was recently talking to a shop owner that felt this big because they were comparing themselves. They're in business 5 years, and they're comparing themselves to a shop that's been in business 29 years. It's just not two different markets, two different specialties. I mean, where do you draw a comparison there? Instead of just saying, hey, wow, nice job, and then watching, what could I pick up from this? Why do we got to internalize that and make us feel like, wow, this, I suck, when you don't, right? You really don't. And it's getting to a point where you've got to understand who your market is. That's a big part of it, okay? So you find the people that love what you do. The question is, what do you do? When I start my marketing training, I ask this question, and it's amazing how many people get uncomfortable. As a prospective customer, why would I drive by three other shops to do business with you? The majority, and I'm talking almost all the time, the answer I get is, I don't know. And if you don't, how the hell are they ever going to know? There's just no way for that to happen. 80% of the consumers out there are value shoppers. They want the best bang for the buck. They don't want the cheapest price. The problem is they're not going to look for the value. You as the provider have to be able to present the value. And here's the thing that gets really wonky about that, Brian, is I'll talk to a shop owner and they'll say, well, you know, what are the benefits of doing business with you? And we have a loaner car. And don't get me wrong, loaner cars are amazing, okay? But I looked at them and I said, well, what if I am bringing my car to you and I have four other cars sitting at home? If that's the only arrow in the quiver, you're in trouble. You got to have a bunch of different arrows in the back of your quiver ready to pull out when and if you need them. It's almost like Hawkeye. He knew exactly which arrow he was pulling out and what the tip on it was and everything else just by feel. What I'm getting at, and here's the hard part, we think that this is our value. But the problem is we don't get to decide value. We get to decide what we present, but it's the consumer that decides the value. And it's going to be different for every person. So how do I figure out what they value? By slowing down and actually talking to them, like listening, understanding prior history with other conversations, as well as this particular, I know that this is a pretty good likelihood that they're going to be interested in this and this. And, you know, something, it sounds like they're in a real hurry. Sounds like speed of service is going to be something I don't want to talk about. I can start to tailor my message so that, number one, they feel seen and heard and appreciated, but they're like, wow, he gets me. And it all starts right there at the beginning.
And one of the big pushbacks that I get from shop owners when we talk about these things is, well, I don't want to alienate everyone else. What do you say to that?
Yeah, you do. Here's the thing. So when I had my shop, our avatar was female head of household, 30 to 50 years old, married, both professionals, owned two cars, 5 to 10 years old, Asian domestic. They had two kids in grade school. Okay. Making $70,000 a year, which back then was cool, right? Everything I did for marketing was to that avatar, to their problems and how I solved them better than anybody else. That's what happens when you have the proper avatar. Instead of using a shotgun method of marketing, you can go in with a sniper rifle because I know exactly who my target is. I know what their problems are because marketing in its truest sense is simply identifying a problem someone has and then telling them that you can take care of it, right? That's really all it is. So if you can step back and say, okay, these are my people, these are their problems, and here's how I am uniquely able to help them, man, it just gets easy. If a single guy with a Mustang came in with a slip and clutch on his car, I'm not going to throw him out, right? Like if we can talk and, but I'm not going after him, if that makes sense. That's the difference. And you'll be amazed. So guess what I went after? And this is going to sound really bad for a second. I went after the kids. I started teaching junior achievement to second graders. And I did that because I felt like we were about the same mental level. It worked out well. I did that for 7 years. In the wintertime, Christmas time, we had a thing called the holiday stroll. And the different neighborhoods in the city, and the city was small, 2 by 2 miles. They would have these little stops that the trolleys would stop at. And, you know, the families would get out and do crafts and stuff like that. So it was myself, a glass company, and an insurance company. We went out on a petting zoo. Who am I going after? Kids, right? But I went one step further. When I got there the first year, not knowing, you know, a newbie, I didn't get it. I watched this guy set everything up. He put all the chain link up and everything like that. And he put the animals in, and then he puts these little machines out. They look like bubblegum machines, right? 25 cents. And you get a little thing like this, a feed. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So the next year I went up to him and I said, how much money do you make with that bag of feed? How much money will you make in the day selling the feed? He goes, I'll make $500 if I sell the whole bag. I said, I'll give you $600 for the bag. Take the machines away. So I gave him $600 for the bag. And then I had a table and I had a little sign just said compliments at Tremont Street Garage. And we would give the kids a bigger portion of the stuff for absolutely free. And I was there in uniform all day long, just handing the stuff out. Never talked about the shop, right? Then they had another thing in the fall called the Victorian Fair. Shut down the center of town. Everybody would come in, 38,000 people. I mean, it was a ton of people in this thing. And I always wanted to be there. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? I called the police station up and I said, do you have a kid care program? Are you run that? And he goes, no, we don't have anybody to host it. I said, if I pay for it, will you help me run a canopy? They gave you a 10 by 10 spot with a canopy. They said, would you help me run it? And they went, yeah, this would be awesome. I said, well, we'll keep a police officer there with you the whole time and everything like that. They ran safety videos. We had contests for different things, for giveaways. And we had the setup for the Polaroid camera, the whole nine yards. And it was funny because I'd go up to the kids and at the time I was like 6'3" and, you know, big boy, and the kids didn't want anything to do with me. And then the cop comes up and they're like, oh yeah, nope, we're good. My daughter was 7 years old at the time, and she was dressed up in this big Victorian dress that my wife had made. And she took over 1,000 pictures that day. But who was I going after?
The kids.
And in the process, I actually had one guy come into me one day. I asked him, how did you hear about us? He goes, oh, my daughter told me about you. And I said, oh, really? Where's your daughter? He goes, oh, you teach her junior achievement. I went, wait a second. I just want to be clear here. A second grader is influencing a purchase decision on auto repair. And he went, yeah. And I went, dude, you're screwed. He goes, what do you mean? Wait till she's a teenager, I said.
You know, it's not that dissimilar from what we did at our shop, Peak Automotive. And our whole tagline was the Triangle's most female-friendly shop. Like, our target audience were, you know, professional women or stay-at-home moms. One of the things that we did was we helped the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts earn their car care badge. And we would have a troop that would come into our shop after hours. All the technicians stayed. We were not trying to sell anything when we did that. We're just working with their kids, teaching them about cars, helping them get their car care badge. And people were constantly coming in after that. And we'd ask them, how did you find out about us? And, oh, I was here with my kid for the merit badge workshop. And when you can, like, when you show people that you care about their kids are interacting with your team and, you know, having a good time, people, they flock to that.
Because it doesn't feel businessy. It's just like, hey, man, you're a human being. Like, one of the coolest things I ever saw, Jim Bastone, great guy, Pittsburgh, had a shop out there. He's passed. I walked into his shop one day. I was out there doing some Dave DeRemus training. I don't know if anybody remembers Dave. He was awesome. A friend of mine and I walked into a shop, and right as you walk in, right on the wall, they got all the ASC certificates. But next to the ASC certificate was a like a professional portrait of the technician and their families. So I talked to Jim and he said, yeah, he says, I want people to feel like it's families serving families. And it was such a powerful statement. It was awesome. And I said, how do you do it? He goes, I just, once a year, I pay the studio for the sitting. I'll buy the package, but I get one picture. So the family gets a professional studio every year. It's on the company. I get one picture. And I'm like, this is awesome, especially for women. And forgive me, I'm a man for sounding like this, but my experience has been women love the memories and the pictures and stuff like that, right?
Oh my gosh. If you walked into my house, we were laughing about this with friends over the weekend. There are more pictures of my family and memories all over the wall. There's a company that Kim uses, and I'm blanking out on the name of it right now, to print all of these pictures, and they're everywhere. Like, she keeps this company in business. But I mean, you're right, for the most part, that is true.
Yeah. So if you understand who your people are, it makes it a lot easier to go after. The message is tighter. You're speaking directly to them. Because if you're trying to be everything to everybody, nothing lands. It's too vanilla. You don't want vanilla advertising. You want pistachio advertising.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. ShopBoss offers real solutions backed by real experience. Simply put, it's shop management software that works your way. When customers are in the lobby and cars are on the lift, you don't have time for a learning curve. That's where ShopBoss comes in, with profit-boosting features that work the way you need them to right out of the box. From built-in DVI to robust, customizable reporting, ShopBoss makes everything about running a shop work more smoothly. Plus, with their Boss Pay Payments feature powered by 360 Payments, you can enter the era of totally paperless payments. From text-to-pay, remote payments, and consumer financing options, to compliance, surcharging, and now even offering PayPal and Venmo options. Everything is built right into ShopBoss. Plus, everything is backed by a fantastic support team with one goal in mind, your success. Be the boss with ShopBoss. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. When we will meet with a client, we will ask them, who's your ideal client? And usually they're, anyone with a car. And that is like the last thing that you want is anyone with a car. And those of you who are listening, if you think about it, anyone with a car, some of the worst clients that you've ever had, they had a car. And you don't want more clients like that. But you think about your best clients and they're completely different than those worst clients. What can you do to hone in on that? When we're talking through this, a lot of times the first things that people come back with is like, it's our customer services sets us apart. You know what? Maybe that's true, but that's what everybody says. Everyone claims their customer service is the best, or we're honest. You know, is there anyone out, like any shops out there that are not going to tell you they're honest?
Well, here's the cool thing. I say it all the time. I say, we use quality parts. And I'm like, do you know a shop in your area that doesn't use quality parts? And they're like, yeah. And I said, I'm willing to bet their advertising says quality parts. I mean, it's just one of those things, you can't do that. And one of the things I picked up years and years ago, decades ago, The Sales Bible by Jeffrey Gittimer. Great book. He said that when you say something about yourself, you're bragging. But if somebody else says it about you, it's proof. And this is where testimonials and stuff work so hard. And one of the things I think it's really important with the message that you send out, the message should not wee-wee all over itself. I call it the spotlight test. When you're looking at your website, your advertising, how many times do you use the word, the name of the shop, team, we, our, us, versus you, your? Because when you market and you're saying all this stuff about you, it's informational and it doesn't connect. It just goes like this. But if you can turn the subject from you so that you're not the main part of the message, and you turn it to them, and it's, you're going to experience this, you're dealing with this. Now they're like, holy crap, he gets me. And what you do whenever you use you marketing, as they're reading it, they are painting a picture of them doing business with you just by reading the marketing. It's really powerful.
Yeah, and there's a great book on that exact thing for those who want to read it called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller, where he really digs into that idea of making your client the hero of their own story.
You're the guide.
What are some of the interesting ways that you have seen some shops set themselves apart? You know, obviously we've talked about the shops that cater towards women, or, you know, the shops that want to show off the whole family aspect, which is still probably catering towards women. But what are some interesting things that you've seen?
Well, I can tell you, for us, we were very family friendly. We had Tootsie Roll lollipops for the kids. And we would always ask the parent really quiet so the kid wouldn't hear us. And it was actually funny. One time I went and asked, and she said yes. So we get this big box from Costco, and they're Tootsie Roll pops, so they're cool. And I open it up, you would think the kid was trying to solve the world economic issue. They took so much deliberation in picking out which lollipop they're going to take. This kid pulls lollipop out and he looks up at his mom and he says, "This place is a lot better than that last place we went to." That was a red face moment for her. But we had dog treats. We had lollipops for the kids. We had coffee station, hot chocolate, tea. I've seen some of our clients have given carnations out. They give carnations out in the morning. People are dropping off their car. They just like a little thing and, you know, the little water. It's the little, I don't know what they call them, but.
Yeah, it looks like a test tube.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they just hand them a carnation. I have a client that when there's a car seat in the back, they have these little stuffed animals and the shirt has the company logo on it. And when they go to put the child back in the car seat, there's a little stuffed animal sitting in the car seat. And they just do that every time. Their focus is the family. If you're family focused, having someone that has a certification in car seat installation, running car seat rodeos and free inspections, it opens up a whole new market that you can partner with as far as obstetricians and, you know, hospitals. In my area, the only place that does that is the fire station. And the guy that does it, there's one guy in it. I swear to God, he only works one day a month. So getting that certified is hard, but being able to go after, again, what's your market? Once you understand what your market is, it makes it so much easier.
A lot of times the market kind of goes with the type of vehicle that you work on also. You know, it doesn't, like sometimes you are marketing specifically to people who drive BMW, for example, or Porsche. I look at someone who was a past client of mine, John Ferguson. He's got a diesel shop in California and he does dyno days out there. You know, they bring out a dynamometer and you can bring your truck, run it on the dyno. And people that are into the diesel world, especially the performance diesel, they are coming out there because they want to see these 2,000 horsepower trucks run on the dyno, or they want to run their own truck on the dyno. It's not always, you know, family or catering to women. Like, what's the thing that you do really well in your shop?
It's almost like the punching bag at the bar. You know that game where you hit the bag and it shows you how hard you hit it? It's the same thing. And you're right. You got to know who your client is. It doesn't mean it's, you know, stuffed animals, you know, but being able to know what really makes a difference. For the European market, setting up car shows, like a Sunday morning coffee and cars kind of thing. If you're going after women, having a lipstick and dipstick clinic. There's all different kinds of things you can do beforehand. Having a new driver class or session where they come in and you teach them the basics on their vehicles. There's so many amazing opportunities. And see, as I'm sitting here, I start thinking and I'm just like, well, we could do this or we could do this or we could do this. It's that coach's mindset. I think it just starts to, there's so many different things you can do. And once you understand what the market is, your market, your avatar is, it makes it a lot easier. So it's market, message, and I say method, but method or medium is the same thing. So it's market and message. And again, the message has got to be focused on their problem, their core problems, and how do you ideally solve them for them? How do you make life easier for them? That's what marketing is really all about. You have a problem, I have a solution, and you're going to love it. I tell people all the time, there's only one thing worse than not marketing, and that's marketing something you can't consistently deliver, right? Because that'll kill reputation. Get clear. It doesn't mean your shop has to be perfect. In fact, the best way to deal with that is when you're talking to a new customer or potential customer, you tell them, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, this is what you're going to get, this is what you're going to get, and this is what you're going to get. Now, guess what they focus on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'm going to talk about the things I do really, really well. And like some of the stuff we're going to fix, some of the stuff is just going to stay back there. We're not even going to worry about it. Like some shit's just going to burn. And that's okay. But we want to make sure it's stuff that we're solving their problems.
So for the shop owner who just doesn't know, like they do not know what makes them different, what do you suggest to them to figure that out?
Find your very best clients. And the way we do that is the three steps, the three things I talked about before. They respect you and you love working for them, with them. They do everything you ask them to do. And they refer clients. Okay. Now you're going to find there's very few people that meet all three things. So once that happens, you're going to identify those people and then you're going to go out. You're going to say, hey, can we meet for coffee? Can we go for lunch? And you're going to sit down, you're going to talk to them. Because one of the things we have, one of my favorite quotes to this is you can't read the label when you're inside the jar. The reality is you can only touch, you have only a perspective of what you provide. You don't get the perspective of what they get. You need that. So you need somebody from the outside that says, no, no, you do this. No, no, you do that. You know, for years as a coach, someone would ask me, Rick, what do you do? We increase profits, increase free time, and, you know, lower stress, decrease stress. Said that for years, increasing profits, transforming lives. And then Brenda did a survey. Brenda's my wife. She did a survey of past and current clients. And over again, the people talked about the impact it had at home. Like, I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better son. I'm a better friend. And it's because when you look at the, you know, the skills to operate a business properly, they're the same to as the ones at home, right?
That's one of the things that I've seen from the outside looking in that differentiates you in your coaching company is that you look at the whole person.
Well, it's something that we've really concentrated on, right? So we're coaching with community. We have an amazing community. One of our clients has a shop on the island west of, I think it's Santa Ana Island, right off of the coast of Sarasota, down in Florida. The hurricanes that went through 2 Octobers ago, they ended up with 4 feet of water in their shop, ruined everything. Within 48 hours, the group had set up a private GoFundMe page and we raised $17,000 just to help them get back on their feet. And less than a month later, one of our newer clients had a family member pass away suddenly and they didn't have the money to take care of it. And, you know, they were up in the Northeast and the family members down in Florida. Within 24 hours, the group raised $15,000. Like, we're coaching with community. We do life together. That's one of my core beliefs, our values in our company is we do life together. Are we perfect? But we're good and we do a good job. We make a mistake, we make it right. You know?
Well, I can vouch for that because I know a lot of your clients and I see the relationships that they have with each other. It's a cool thing. Like what you're talking about with the clients, we actually put in place a client advisory panel for our shop. Kim did that and they had some perks for being on that advisory panel. But most of the time, if you ask somebody to do that, they're honored, like they want to do it. And we recently, we started a client, we just finished our first year with our client advisory panel here at Shop Marketing Pros. And the information that you will get from those clients, like it will help you to steer you, your decisions that you're making in the business. But the other thing that we tell people, and it's so easy now with AI, is to go look at what people are saying in the reviews that they leave you. You know, used to do this, we would have to like compile them and look for commonalities. And then it was compile them, put them in a spreadsheet, run them all through AI and say what, you know, what are the common things that people are saying? Well, now you don't even need to compile it. You can use AI, tell it, go scrape my Google business profile for all of my reviews and tell me what people are saying about me. That's a place where you can find out how you're different. What are people saying about you?
Yeah. The thing we got to be really careful about that though is, and I talk about this a lot, communication skills, is you don't want to listen to somebody else's words and apply your meaning. You want to understand what they mean. Like if you can sit back on that and just let like tumble that thought in your head for a little bit. A great example is you're going to hire a technician and you tell them they need to be on time. You understand what I mean? And they go, yep. And the first day they get there, they punch in at 8:00, and then they go to the bathroom for half an hour, and then they get a cup of coffee, and they change their clothes, say hi to everybody, and about 9:30, they're ready to start, and you're twisted up tighter in a jelly roll, right?
But they were there on time.
Because they did not have the same definition of on time. And that is the mistake of listening to someone else's words and applying your meaning. So we want to be able to be very, very clear about what does this mean, right? And the probably the best way, and this is the thing about the interview, is going down and sit down with people and talk. Even if you do it over a Google Meet or Zoom or whatever it is, but I find in person is better. it creates more of a connection. Like these people are going to walk in, they love you already, and they're going to walk out. Like, first of all, you're going to buy them lunch or whatever it is, but their feet aren't going to touch the ground for about 3 months. They're going to be so happy. And it's funny because shop owners are genuinely scared to have these conversations. I'm like, no, these people love you. You're going to love these conversations. Just do them.
But gosh, even the ones who are willing to be like that don't love you, that are willing to be honest with you, that is some of the best information you can get. And yeah, it sucks getting, you know, hearing that kind of stuff, but that's what allows you to become better.
But I don't think it sucks. I think it's humbling. And if we can change the wording on that, I think that makes a difference. It's humbling. But the reality is they're pointing out a blind spot you're not aware of. And you've got to either agree to like, okay, that's my blind spot and I'm not going to do anything. Because there's some things in a business, like people want a perfect business. Ain't no such thing. You know, I want everything fixed. Ain't going to happen. Like, I know there's going to be stuff 20 years from now in my business. Yes, I'll still be doing this. And I'll be better than I am today. But there's going to be some stuff in my business that's burning today. It's going to be burning in 20 years because it's not worth fixing. Like, there's no return on it. Why would I fix something that's not going to give me a return? Why am I going to invest time, money, and energy into something that's not going to help us move forward, to grow, to become better? So you just got to recognize that. But when you're having that conversation, ask questions and then go deeper. Don't just take the first answer like, you guys are really honest. Really, tell me more. Right? Like, I want them to go deeper. How did it feel? Well, what was it like before us? Right? Because if honesty was a really big deal for them, I'm willing to bet there was a dishonesty over here somewhere. And by being able to dig into that, I'm going to be able to see a really cool picture. And at the end of it, I want to practice reflective listening. And I'm going to say, so Brian, what I hear you saying is, and I'm going to come back to you and say, here we go. Bam, bam, bam. And you're going to go, yeah, that's exactly it. And you're going to feel heard. I'm going to feel great. In the past, I would take notes. But one of the things that's really cool is you want to understand what they're saying. What is important to them? What was the story like before? Like, there's this whole customer journey we talk to people about. I map out the five key areas that you've got to get information about and why does it make a difference? And because this helps us. If you're focused transactionally, you're focused on the vehicle. If you're focused relationally, you're focused on the person. And that is amazing. That's where the riches are, right? Riches are in relationships.
So we talked about market and message. Let's get into the method, because that's super important to who your client is.
Exactly. And it's going to be very different. So the message, though, again, I want to make sure it's you focused. Once you get all this information back, instead of taking notes today, I would just record it. Like, I would grab my phone and say, hey, is it okay if I record this so I can, instead of taking notes, I can just be fully present with you right now. And then I can shove those suckers into, I can shove the transcripts into ChatGPT or something like that and say, hey, pull out some really cool stuff. And it's going to be pretty amazing, right? Then we go to method or medium. And that is going to be really particular to where you're at. So I'll give you an example. I was showing a marketing class and I had some Yellow Page ads up. And someone said, you got to update this class. And I went, why? And they said, because you got Yellow Pages. I said, great. So what if you live where I live and there's not a lot of internet available? My house, I have four internets at my house because they all suck. Just genuinely, I'm grateful. They don't typically do it all at the same time. But I can flip through four different internets at my house because I live in the country and there's nothing available. So guess what people use out there? Yellow Pages. Or let's say I'm down in Sarasota, Florida. That's where people go to die. Like, my mom does not have great internet skills, right? She's 80. How old is my mom now? 80. She'll be 84 this year. She does not have great internet skills. Guess what she uses? She uses the phone book.
My mom passed away at the end of last year, and she used the phone book, and my sister bought her a laptop and put a slot machine game on it. It had to work without the internet because she would not touch anything that was connected to the internet, but she still used her Yellow Pages.
This is kind of listening to someone else's words and applying your meaning. Just because you're in a big city or you got internet, you know, your average demographic is 30 years old to 35 years old. That's great. but not everybody has that, right? And again, it doesn't matter, like social media, like do I go on TikTok? Do I do this? Do I do that? Go where your ideal client is. Well, I don't know where they go. I know how you can fix that. You ask. You ask, like, what do you like to read? Are there any magazines you like to read? What radio stations do you listen to? Like, what playlists are you playing with? All these different things that you can go through. What social media do you like to hang out on? Getting that information is super, super important. To give you an idea, back in the day, and I had the shop from my second shop from 95 to 2002. One of the things we did is when we started the car, the technician would document the radio station. Why do you think I wanted that?
Yep. You know where to advertise.
So I know where to advertise. I mean, that you just got to pay attention, right? And just see what they hang out. What do they like to do in off times? Where do they go? What do they like to do in their free time? This is called psychographics. This is not demographics. This is psychographics. This is how they behave. Demographics are where they live, how much money they make, et cetera, physical stuff. Psychographics, it's how they behave. And being able to step back and understand. And what's amazing about this is you're going to find commonalities. Like I was doing this with a shop owner. He was really frustrated because he had gone through 10 clients and he was really just like, I don't see any commonality. So we went through it and I went through each one, tell me about the notes on each one. And we got about three quarters of the way through. And I went, dude, you know what you got going on here, right? And he goes, no. I said, okay, let's step back. Take a breath. He goes, okay. I said, your avatar is 40 to 50 years old and they own their own business. 8 out of 10 of his best clients were small business owners.
Talk about a perfect avatar.
And he didn't even know it. So now do I want to put, you know, Facebook on there and stuff like that? Probably not. I want to join BNI leads groups and Chamber of Commerce and where I'm going to get in front of my avatar. But once you understand what your avatar, who your avatar is, it's really going to help you figure out what's going on.
What a lot of people don't understand about this is that you can use this information to change who your client is. Like if you have a lot of, I'm just going to use the term we used to use back in the day of bottom feeders, you know, people who they're there for the cheap oil change. If you offer that, they're never doing anything, you know, to their car. They're always telling you about how they can get the part cheaper online and all that. And you want to shift to an avatar that is not going to do that. Then guess what? Start marketing to those people, not the ones that you currently have.
Absolutely. Because if you have a lot of those people, it's either your pricing or your message. And you just got to look at it. And I say this all the time. If you're not getting the client you want, right? It's like fishing. You know, you're either going after the wrong fish, you got the wrong bait, or you're in the wrong place, right? I'm not going to go ocean.
And not having a message is a message.
Oh, yeah. You're just like everybody else. And now the only thing you can compete on is price. And that's a race to the bottom. But if you can step back, differentiate yourself, you actually start to make more money because the people that love you see you as more valuable than any other place out there. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my daughter last night. My daughter is an amazing artist, just amazing. And we were talking last year. She's really working on getting off. She has a full-time job. And last year, she did about $4,000. Like she makes these fan art stickers and stuff. And I was talking to her last night and I said, you need to up your prices. Like on that $4,000, she made $700. I said, you need to triple to 5X your pricing. Dad, nobody will buy. I went, yeah, they will. Just the better ones. I said to her, I said, you need to get like some limited edition. Like this is one of 100 signed by the artist and sell them for $100. And she goes, Dad, nobody would buy them. I said, I'd be in your booth. I'd sell them out. $100. They're going to take a picture with you with it, holding the piece together and you're going to sign it in front of them. And I said, you'll get 50 of those at $100 and you'll make more in one show than you did all of last year doing less work. And it's because you got to make things less available. You got to know who you are.
It's perceived value also. If I see something that's cheap or inexpensive, I don't really perceive much value in that. you could take the same product without me knowing about it, mark the price. It's like the Payless shoe store thing. Have you ever seen the, so Payless opened up like a pop-up shop in, I think it was New York City. If it wasn't New York, it was some Beverly Hills or Chicago or something in a fancy area. And they gave it a fancy name and they took a bunch of their shoes from Payless and put them in there. And people started coming in and they're looking at these shoes thinking that they're like high-end designer shoes and they fell in love with the shoes. It's perception. You put a $1,200 price tag on a pair of $30 shoes. If nobody knows they're $30 shoes, they're going to be wowed by them.
I mean, how much do you think the $1,200 shoes cost?
Yeah, not much.
It ain't much more than 30, right? And here's the thing. A lot of times people will see a low price and go, nah, they're not going to be any good. Whereas there's almost always an unconscious, if it's more expensive, it's better. I just got to believe it. And that was one of the things I talked to my daughter about. I said, nobody's going to value what you do until you do, right? You got to know your value up front. And that's super important, that confidence and just that I'm here to help, but I really don't care if you do anything kind of attitude. I don't want to sound wrong with that. When you don't have a horse in the race, there's nothing to trigger you. You just sit down, you say, hey, this is what's going on. But being able to identify, you can do it by work you do, the type of work you do. You can do it by the kind of client you want to work with. But each and every one of these is going to have a different medium. And you're going to find some common ones. It's like if you did a scatter diagram, you're going to have a couple out here, a couple outliers out here. But you're going to find three or four things that are right here in the middle. And it's like, okay, this is where you want to be. Then you just get really good about making sure your message is you focused so that not you, the shop owner, but the client focused and see them so that nobody buys a problem. I say that a lot. Nobody buys a problem. They buy solutions. So you want to identify the problem, but you want to sell the solution. And that's what's really cool. Gittimer says you want to get them talking about them solving their problem with you as the solution. And I think that's important.
Well, Rick, thank you for being on today. This has been great. You know, I think if our listeners will take this advice and go put it in place, they'll see big impact on their business.
I think it's really important, Brian. Marketing hasn't changed. We're still people serving people. I think with all the different mediums out there today, you know, the Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it can get overwhelming. But if you just step back and you understand who do I serve the best? And when I look at that, not only do I serve the best, but I'm profitable. It doesn't matter. Like if I'm doing engine jobs all day long and not making money doing those, I don't want to do them. You want to make sure it's work you're profitable at, that people you can help that really appreciate you. And then you go after more of those people. And it's absolutely amazing what can happen. It's a long-term play. It takes time. You're not going to put one ad out and see it turn around. It's going to be 6 months to a year. But a year later, you're going to turn around and go, holy crap, this is pretty cool.
Well, thank you. For anyone who's listening and they want to find out more about coaching with you, how should they do that?
If they have questions or they want to sit down and talk, you can email rick@180biz.com. You can go to our website, 180biz.com. We're going to be at the Texas two-step training, March 21st to 28th. We're going to be at the Accelerate program down in Florida for FLACA, April 16th and 17th, I think it is. We're going to be at Tools, going to be in Brazil in July teaching. We're all over the place. So feel free, 180biz.com or rick@180biz.com.
Awesome. Well, thank y'all for listening in on this episode. Remember, we are one of a handful of podcasts on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. You can find the others at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. I hope you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
Go make some money.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Marketing questions? Well, the Walkers have the answers. Check the show notes for their email.